Before that, though, we're going to explore the relationship between human honey hunters and honey guide birds that live in rural parts of East Africa. These are birds that have evolved to seek out humans and lead them to bees' nests. So the humans break in and subdue the bees on their behalf and have the honey, while the birds get the wax. Claire Spottiswood, who's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Cambridge's Department of Zoology and also at the University of Cape Town, has been studying whether the ways the birds recognise their human collaborators differs from one country to another. She spoke to me from her research base doing field work in Mozambique.
Cooperation between humans and wild animals is really vanishingly rare, and one of the few remaining examples occurs between an African bird species, the greater honey guide, small, rather unassuming brown birds that are related to woodpeckers. But they all share this really curious trait, which is that they love to eat beeswax, which is really rich in energy if you're able to digest it, which honey guides have the ability to do. But the snag is that beeswax is defended by thousands of stinging honeybees. So while honey guides are extremely good at finding bees nests, they have rather more of a problem getting access. So to solve this, they team up with their own species and approach humans in the bush and give a strident, urgent, chattering call, chatter, 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 which attracts our attention. And if we choose to follow them, they'll then fly from tree to tree, giving this chattering call as they fly in the direction of a bee's nest. Anything from a few meters, if you happen to be standing under a bee's nest without realizing it, which is remarkably easy to do, up to a mile or more.
Do we know how far back in history this relationship goes? Is this a modern thing?
It's entirely possible that it actually predates our own species, and that's because the two key features that make us such useful partners to a honey guide are the use of fire to subdue these thousands of stinging honeybees and the use of tools to chop open their nest. And these are skills that humans and our hominin forebears have had for in the order of 1.5 million years in the case of the control of fire, up to 3 million years in the case of tool use. And for all that time, honey guides and honey-producing honeybees have also lived in Africa. So it's entirely plausible that this relationship is extremely ancient. But of course, this is just a hypothesis, and unfortunately, it's an unfalsifiable one. We can't test it in a way that would allow us to prove it wrong.
Do they learn this from their parents, or does this appear to be bird innate? They come out of the egg and they can do this.
We can be pretty sure that the aspects of the relationship that are learnt rather than innate are not learnt from their parents, because honey guides, like cuckoos, are brood parasitic, meaning they're raised by other bird species. And in fact, one of the honey guides' first acts as a chick in a dark nest hole is to stab its foster siblings to death, and it will thereafter be fed by another species until it fledges. So it will never knowingly meet its own parents, because they're raised by species that have no such interaction with humans. A honey guide hatches from the egg knowing how to cooperate with humans. And we think this because even very young honey guides seem to be attracted to humans and attempt to guide them. And furthermore, in parts of Africa where humans no longer recognize the call of honey guides and no longer follow them because they have access to alternative sources of sweetness besides wild honey, either beehive honey or sugar, honey guides do still attempt to call us.
The human calls to the bird calls to the human. Is that the same all over Africa in the territories where these birds are? Or in the same way that humans speak differently in different bits of the world, do the birds' conversations differ?
Yes, it's really remarkable, in fact. These calls, brr, hmm, is used fairly consistently here in the north of Mozambique.
Brr. Huh? Brr.
Even just a few hundred miles away, completely different sounds are used. And if we look across Africa, we see a mosaic of different human cultures using completely different sounds in exactly the same context. And these can vary from beautiful whistle melodies, for example, used by the Hadza honey hunters of northern Tanzania, to various other forms of whistles often made with instruments like snail shells or hollow fruits with holes drilled in them, as well as in some places various words and other forms of trills and grunts. So we have this immense cultural variation among different honey hunting cultures across Africa that honey guides have to contend with in order to recognize a good partner and cooperate effectively with our own species.
Do these calls work on the birds wherever you are in Africa, or have the birds evolved or learned the specific calls made by the populace in those areas, so they'll only respond to humans who respectively speak that language?
Yes, you've just laid out two very nice alternative hypotheses for why these calls work. And these are two of the alternatives that we considered in our new paper that we're discussing now. We also considered a third hypothesis, and that's that these calls are designed to travel well through the particular habitat in which different people are honey hunting. So we know that some bird calls are tuned to the specific environment in which the birds exist. They move better through the vegetation type. So it's just possible that this could be true for these human calls too, so that they might work not because honey guides prefer them, but simply because honey guides can hear them better.
How did you test this then? What experiments did you do this time to try to get to the bottom of this?
We carried out field experiments here in the north of Mozambique and also in northern Tanzania to test honey guides' responses to the signals that people use to communicate with them in these different parts of Africa. And in each place, the three experimental treatments that we carried out were either the brrr call given here in the north of Mozambique, the beautiful whistle melody given by Hadza honey hunters in northern Tanzania, or arbitrary human sounds, which were honey hunters shouting out their names.
And what did you find? Did the birds only respond to the local lingo, as it were?
That's exactly right. So we found that honey guides were 2 to 3 times more likely to interact with humans who gave the local honey hunting call compared to the foreign honey hunting call or arbitrary human sounds. So here in northern Mozambique, the honey guides strongly preferred the local brrr honey hunting call, but largely ignored the Hadza whistle melody. Whereas in northern Tanzania, the opposite was true. The honey guides strongly preferred the local whistle melody, but were not particularly strongly attracted to the Mozambican brrr. So this supports the hypothesis that honey guides have learned what their local good partners sound like and are attracted to those calls. We were also able to test the third hypothesis, that these sounds simply travel better through the bush by directly quantifying how quickly sound does travel through each environment. And we found that both types of sounds traveled equally well through the environments at both sites, suggesting that this isn't a good explanation for why honey guides are differentially attracted to the local sounds. And of course, this, like our previous finding, is one that would probably not surprise any honey hunter. They know perfectly well that they use these calls because honey guides prefer them.
In some respects, they're using us as their tool then, aren't they? They're kind of manipulating us to feed them by doing us a favour. We cop all the stings in order to give them dinner.
That's very well put. We are their tools, but also they are our tools. And in fact, they're described almost that way in as many words by some of our Yao honey hunter colleagues here in northern Mozambique. Honey guides are a kind of a living tool to them. And as it happens, we are interested in different parts of the resource. Honey guides want wax, we want honey. So there's no fighting over the spoils either.
Cambridge University's Claire Spottiswood out in Mozambique looking at honey hunters and honey guides.